This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We are going to be put to the test to be embarrassed once again with blind resume.
And we don't have anybody helping us here. We're on our own, apparently. We're flying blind on this, literally.
We are so awful at this game that they decided to bring it back just in time.
This is how well do Mark and Wes know ACC QBs?
Nil.
Come on.
We are awful at this game. You know that.
We might get one or two, right?
All right. Well, that will be pure luck. As in blind squirrel finds nut.
All right, so let's go. Blind resumes of quarterbacks. What they're going to do is the boys in Bristol have compiled some data, and they're going to put it on the screen, and we're going to tell you who it is.
We're going to attempt to.
By ourselves. We don't have anybody guiding us through these choppy waters.
No, we're awful at this.
You excited? You ready?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I do like this segment because we're so awful at it.
All right, let's crank it up. Here's the first one. Oh, no. 72 or 73, it's got to be older quarterbacks. All right, 62% completion percentage for the guy on the left, 63 on the right, 72 touchdowns, 20 rushing scores.
All right, let me tell you something. The fact that here's how I'm going to play this today.
Okay.
The fact that the boys were so excited to bring this back, knowing how bad we are, I think that they're going to curveball us from the get-go just to make us look really dumb. I'm going to go with a crazy pick.
Okay.
On the left.
All right.
I'm going to say they are going to sit there and they're going to go Pack and West. They'll go through Kenny Pickett. They'll go through. I think Mackenzie Milton is to the left.
Mackenzie Milton to the left.
I think they're going to pick somebody that we would not even think about because Mackenzie going to play his first football game in a couple of years. I'm going to go Mackenzie Milton on the left.
And De'Eriq King on the right.
Let's go with it.
All right. Let's see what we got. Boom!
Oh, can we quit now? Can we just fast forward to the next segment?
Yes!
They were bragging.
Come on.
We killed them.
There we go. Smoked it right there.
I tell you what, if I had an extra mic right now, I would drop it and just go, yeah.
How about us?
Can we brag for like the next 11 minutes?
No, we got to go next board.
I figured that they would I knew they would do something. You know what? They'll never guess this one.
Yeah, 32 touchdowns I thought was De'Eriq King rushing touchdowns. That was the
little telltale sign.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, next. What else we got?
Oh, no.
Two bowl games. All right, hold on now. Packer and Durham appearances. Well, first of all, listen, you know I keep
all right,
up
with we got. Hang on a second.
I know what this one is, too.
Started as freshman, yes. Two bowl games, yes.
How to
Fewer
the left.
Pass, touchdowns.
How to the left. Pickett to the right.
Five rushing scores for one, eight for the other. Three Packer and Durham appearances to four.
How to the left, Pickett to the right.
Well, then what we're not counting is kickoff appearances with Durham while Packer was Delta varianted.
Well, I mean, it wasn't Packer and Durham.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
How left, Pickett right?
Yeah.
Oh. We're two for two. We're continuing to bust it up.
What else y'all got?
Oh, great. Now we've gone.
Now we're getting cocky.
Miserable to arrogant. Great.
Yeah, we went from arrogant. That's exactly right.
All right.
Can we just stop now? And y'all can go back to the drawing board?
No. We're going to
push it. Because the Lumberjacks are smoking hot. Because they were running their mouths about how bad we are at this.
All right. Let's go again. Here's the third one. All right. Games played. 18 on the left, 17 on the right. Bowl games, two each. Longest pass in 20. 78 yards for one, 90 for the other, 24 times sacked for one guy, 19 times sacked for the other, and one Packer and Durham appearance each.
That's tougher. P&D, I'm going P&D appearances on this. This is
Phil Jurkovic. No, because he didn't play in two bowl games.
No.
They didn't play in any bowl games last year.
So it can't be Brennan Armstrong.
It can be Sam Hartman.
It can. It could have been Cunningham. No, he's been on more than once.
But they didn't play in a bowl game last year.
Yeah, but he's been on twice, I think.
Sam Hartman, Brennan Armstrong? Sam Hartman, Brennan Armstrong.
I don't think Armstrong's been to two bowl games.
No, he was on bowl teams because he was on the championship team in 19 that lost to Clemson.
Yeah, and?
And he would have been on the team the year before.
All right, let's go with that and see where we go. This could be a little shaky.
Phil Djurkovic. What bowl game did Phil Djurkovic? Did he go to two at Notre Dame?
Oh, see, they got tricky on us on that bowl thing there.
I got Brennan Armstrong right.
Yeah, that was right. Not bad.
All right, so we're 5 for 6.
Not bad.
On blind resumes.
Are they, do they quit?
Do we have more left?
Are we stopping there?
Oh, one more. Redshirted, no. One guy, no. Other guy, yes. Completions of 20 or more yards, 40 for one, 31 for the other. Quarterback rating, first in the ACC on third downs, 10th in the ACC. 20 interceptions, 13 for one, 14 for the other.
I think I know who the left is.
Burmeister?
No. I think we're going Georgia Tech.
Jeff Sims?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Sims has been on the show.
No. He was on the kickoff, but not the show.
So that I'm going to go Sims to the left.
Okay.
To the right. Golly. Redshirted, yes. That's the one. The redshirt part's throwing me off here.
Devin Leary?
14. Does that number look right?
That's 14. Too high.
That's a long. That's a big number for Leary. I don't think so.
It's not DJ. Tommy DeVito?
How about?
He wouldn't have been first and third down quarterback.
How about Florida State? Going Florida State again? Jordan Travis?
Has Jordan Travis been on the show?
Yes. Jordan Travis has been on the show.
He didn't have 14 interceptions in 2020, did he?
It seems like a big number.
All right, let's see. Can we – all right, are we going to – let's – wait a second.
I think Sims – I think Sims is
on the left. You think Jeff Sims is on the left?
I do. But the one on the right's throwing me.
The one on the right?
Yeah, I just can't vibe the one on the right. But I think Sims is left. Go just
the
take
best
a
best third down quarterback in the ACC last year.
Well, I just
Malik Cunningham.
can we retire? I know there's probably people watching the show thinking that
7 out of 8.
Dude. 7 of 8. It's like Giants baseball. 7 of 8.
Is right, that boys. It? Are we stopping there?
Are we going to retire this segment?
No, we're going to do blind. Whoa, wait a second. Hold on. We were just disputed on our percentage by Bristol. Again, this is a segment that deserves lumberjack attention, and we're getting none. You know, because they're playing behind the curtain this time.
Yeah, you notice we're not going to Bristol for a reaction.
Right. Because Bristol doesn't want to be on camera.
Oh, so we're back on camera.
Oh, wait a second. Here we go.
The thing that I just want to point out here is you guys had a lot of guesses on that last one, so I'm not sure we're really going with 7 for 8. Like, we kept it on the screen until you were able to say Malik.
Excuse me. Was there a shot clock? Did I see a shot clock?
Not aware of one.
No, but when you go through 17 quarterbacks, including some backups, and then we finally land on Malik Cunningham, then that's when we gave it to you.
You gave us what?
Well, we can argue about this all day if you want, but
well, we really can't because the segment ends in
7 of 8.
The segment ends in 4 minutes, and you guys thought for sure. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I was told before the segment started, "Hey, you guys take your time trying to figure this out."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of actually
what we were told. I was told.
Yeah.
Yeah, take your time, but you don't have to guess 25 guesses.
Well, we actually guessed 8 times and got 7 of them right. I don't know about the 25 part.
We talked it out.
You know what's happened here?
We're going to mark the tape on some of this?
For the first time in Packer and Durham history, 440 some odd shows, we wore them out. We wore them out. They went from, you know, this is the time we really embarrassed these guys.
Right.
They think they know everything.
Sure.
They know nothing. And we embarrassed them. Mm-hmm. We took them. We took the Lumberjacks to the woodshed. That's what we did. We did. And now all of a sudden, they're trying to justify, well, you know, time limitations. And
you know what's going to come up
next week. Dog ate my homework.
You know what's going to come up next week. Another one.
Oh, yeah. They're going to go back to the drawing board going, oh.
Next week.
They were cute.
Next week, running backs or wide receivers. You right. can see it coming.
Guess their middle name. A new segment. Defensive, guess their middle
defensive
name.
Defensive unit blind resume.
I got to tell you, we wore them out. That was a...
7 out of 8.
That
great
was,
teamwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to tell you. I thought we did a pretty good job there.
I do too. All
right. 7 of 8. Yeah. We're normally
exactly
brutal.
Exactly what happened. Segment.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
A little bit of news here. Our friend Nicole Auerbach has just put on social media, the Big Ten, Pac-12, and ACC are expected to make a formal announcement about their alignment soon, perhaps as early as next week. Multiple sources have told The Athletic. The final tag of this is the most interesting. This isn't just about scheduling.
Stay tuned. Grab your popcorn. As if
man, I love college sports.
I've said on radio that we're living in one of the ultimate soap operas, and it's real stuff. I mean, this is not made in Hollywood. But, man, that will get you fired up, I think, if you're an ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12 guy, just from a scheduling standpoint. And that hook that Nicole wrote at the tail end really makes it interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
She's awesome. Does a great job.
Yeah, she does.
Great job.
Outstanding.
So more on that before we're done at 10 o'clock, I feel like.
Yeah, that'll be a huge topic next week for sure.
Yeah.
Assuming that that's accurate. And you got to figure it
maybe
is.
Maybe even more before we're done here today.
Could very well be. But we said this, you know, when we were kicking this thing around early in the week. The potential from a scheduling standpoint gives everybody a little juice. Three power leagues now get a chance to potentially sample, hey, you know what? I've always wanted to see Clemson come to L.A. I've always wanted to see North Carolina go to Oregon.
Mm.
You know, want to always go to make a road trip to Happy Valley for a whiteout. Never seen them dot the I at the shoe. Well, could very well be the case that ACC teams could be headed that way and vice versa. They're coming to your house. So I think it's great. You know, if they could pull this thing off, it sounds like, based on that report, that could very well be happening.
All right. I want to add something here real quick. Just I want to talk this out a little bit. We know that the three commissioners met. That happened.
It's a given.
Right. But now we've got to assume, dangerous to do at times.
Please.
That this has moved across channels now, athletic directors, coaches, to a degree, as much as coaches can be involved in this. But for her to say this isn't just about scheduling, this has moved, it's pretty fast train.
Well, one of the things we talked about last week and this week with all this, when this thing broke a week ago, right? The Athletic broke it Friday night a week ago. So when we talked about this week, one of the things that was, I think, so compelling about the potential of this working is from an academic standpoint. I know people were thinking about games and scheduling and television and all that stuff. And we emphasized on this show about the AAU relationship.
Yep.
You know what? If presidents and chancellors at these great institutions don't believe it can happen and are not comfortable, they're not going to do it.
Right.
But there was a lineage, I thought, from the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC, from an academic standpoint, that I thought all of those leagues who have always taken academics seriously, and it's legit, it's not lip service. The fact I think they were all completely comfortable with, hey, I enjoy being a part of this club, if you will. I think fast forward stuff, where when you get the green light from the very top, you can make stuff happen in a hurry. And the fact there was also, I think, late September, when everybody gets together to talk about this college football playoff expansion, quite frankly, you need to know an answer with the alliance by then. You may have that answer before the end of August, much less the end of September. But I think if you're a fan of the Atlantic Coast Conference and this turns out to be legit and we're all signed on the dotted line, I think if you're a fan, you got to embrace it and say, man, how cool is it that we're going to have our regular ACC schedule and the opportunity with brands against brands, because you know television wants that. Hmm. From a scheduling standpoint, I mean, it is unlimited. We did, how many shows did we do this week where people were calling in talking about, man, I'd love to see us go make a road trip to the Big House, or how cool would it be if Oregon decided to come down to play in Tallahassee, or Miami's going out to SC, whatever the combination. There's endless possibilities here. So I think if you're a fan of the ACC in football, if this turns out to be legit, I think you're going to absolutely love it.
Well, and you see on the screen, 40% of the U.S. colleges in the Association of American Universities, the AAU, are in the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12.
That's important.
Yes, it is. Because, as you said, it streamlines the process.
Yep.
Oh, they're in that league? They're in that club with us? Bang.
Yeah, we'll hang with those guys. Yeah. They speak our language.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, if you don't think that's not important, you really don't understand the process.
And I'll reemphasize this. A decade ago, when expansion was taking shape again, that's when the ACC added Syracuse and Pittsburgh and the IPO with Notre Dame and all those things, Louisville. The AAU was a major talking point in that whole process, a huge talking point. And it is proving to be again. There are several people on campuses around this league that thought the AAU was a central turn piece in whatever would happen with the ACC after Oklahoma, Texas made their move. And guess what?
You know, we talk sports, but these are academic institutions.
That's it.
At the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I say it all the time. If you're a student athlete, the second your foot steps on that campus, the object is to get a degree. If you happen to play in the NFL or the WNBA or Major League Baseball, hey, that's awesome.
Yep.
But you basically represent less than 2% of the 500,000 people that step on campus as college student athletes to get a better education and hopefully a better life.
There you go. All right, let's change gears here quickly. Jeff Ferris joined us yesterday. He's the co-offensive coordinator at Duke. And he's the guy that's got a brand new quarterback this year, Gunnar Holmberg. He's the outlier in this collection of 14 guys. He's never started a game, and he's the new guy on the block. How does that work, and how has he done so far for Coach Ferris, in case you missed it?
You know, he's been here a long time, been in this system. He's a tremendous learner. I think he's gotten better through those growth opportunities. You mentioned the injury, so I don't think he's going to look like a first-year starter when he gets the opportunity. And it's still a competition, to be honest with you. Those other guys, the young guys in the room, they make every single person better. But he's come a long way in these early fall practices. I'm very, very excited about his growth and development.
Jeff, I know that when we talked to Coach Cutt recently, I mean, one thing that must happen in 21 for Duke football is hold on to the football. Quit throwing it to the other guy. I know what his rearview mirror is last year. It's done. It's behind you. However, 39 turnovers, you just can't do that in 21.
No doubt, Mark, and that's something that we've preached on ever since January. And the guys, the best part about it, the guys have really bought in and are doing everything. They're coaching each other up on how they hold the football, the decisions we make in the passing game. They understand that Duke can't beat Duke, and it's been fun to see. We're not there yet, but we're getting better every day. But we're going to try to do everything we can to take care of the football. And we've been off to a very, very good start of that.
Jeff, I want to talk about the journey where you're the co-offensive coordinator this year, because you have now, coached wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks. So if anybody knows Cutt's pass game, I got to believe it's you. What changes with Gunnar Holmberg from Chase Bryce or Daniel Jones or anybody else, Quentin Harris? I mean, where's the evolution in the throw game this fall for Duke?
Yes, I think Gunner's skill set is as diverse as any of those guys. So our game plan is to put him in positions and to use our whole, you know, the things we've done at Duke since 2008. I came here June 28th of 2008. But to use the things that suit his skill set from all the way back, and some of those things will be the Daniel Jones model, and some of those will be Thomas Cirque or Anthony Boone or even Sean Renfrey. But we're going to do things that utilize his skill set and the other quarterbacks that we have. And he's really, really grown. But I think he's got a bunch of ability. He's a tremendously hard worker. He's great in the film room. And he's had a great fall camp. So I'm very, very excited about what he will do for us this year.
Coach, you've got the ultimate security blanket in Durant, man. Just hand it to him. Just give the big man the ball 40 times and quit worrying about it.
He's had a great camp, too.
Okay, but let's be honest. Mateo Durant is a pretty big piece of this. I mean, he can make Gunnar Holmberg's job pretty easy, right? I mean, hey, I'll take it 20, 25 times. You throw it about 15 or 20 more, and we'll get out of here, right?
Well, I don't know about easy, but Mateo Durant sure does help. And then we're trying to build this thing all off our ability to run the football. And Coach Greg Fry and our offensive line, they've done an unbelievable job through the spring, summer workouts, and now fall camp. We're going to do everything we can to establish the run. And with that, we'll create our down-the-field opportunities in addition to the intermediate passing game and some perimeter things where we could take advantage because we've got really, really big receivers on the outside that can make plays. So I don't know about easy, but Mateo Durant sure does help. And the backs behind him, Coach Calvin McGee's done a tremendous job of developing those guys to where we feel like we've got great depth at the running back position as well.
You talk about Coach Fry. I know he's come in. You guys were looking to clean some things up in the offensive line in the spring. How much of that is carried over into the fall? A couple of weeks away now. What do you think?
Very, very excited. What we're going to do is we're going to know who we are and be very, very good at those things, not try to be everything. So I think our guys understand what we're trying to get accomplished. That's a very, very smart group, and they've taken advantage of every rep this fall. So I think those things are cleaned up, and we've made it to where they understand it so well they can come off the ball and play hard. So I'm excited to watch those guys the remainder of camp and then obviously through the season. But that's a position where we've got a huge pool. I couldn't tell you who the best five are. Every day somebody else makes plays. So we're very, very excited about that group, and it's going to be a big part of our offense.
Jeff, is the return of Jack Wolobaugh as big a deal as we've talked about through the summer? I mean, a guy who got hurt last year before the season ever really started, and now he comes back, and, I mean, just that veteran presence at center, it's got to be huge.
Yes, Wes, for two reasons. One, obviously, he's on the field play. He's a tremendous player. But I think the bigger reason, even though as good of a player as he is his leadership and bringing those young guys along. He has been phenomenal. I think that's a big reason why, in addition to Coach Fry, the depth that we have on the offensive line, he's able to pull those guys aside and explain why we do this on a certain zone play. And he's been, yes, he's been tremendous and been really, really good through fall camp.
Coach, don't you love it when two guys you've never coached tell you what you ought to be doing? Isn't that a great feeling 2 weeks out that me and Wes, we couldn't figure out which way to put the jock strap on, and here we are telling you what plays to run. I mean, come on. Hey, we get things in a complete perspective. With that said, how awesome is it to be able to coach under David Cutcliffe? I mean, truly, not only is he a great guy, brilliant coach, but a great offensive mind, especially working with quarterbacks. For a young guy like you, I mean, this has got to be a dream come true.
Yeah, I don't know if dream even does it. You know, to be able to play here 08 through 11 for those four seasons and to never have left. And what you said about him as a person, he's the best coach in college football, and he's an even better man. And ever since I met him, he's been honest with me every single day. He's challenged me and made me better. But, yeah, I think a dream come true would have to be the closest way to put it. It's a whole bunch of fun. We learn a ton every day. And as passionate as I am about Duke football, Coach Boyette, everybody, Coach Cutcliffe shares that passion and is so fired up about this place. Coach Boyette and I's alma mater, it's a lot of fun. So I think a dream would be a pretty fitting word.
Jeff, let's be honest, though. The evolution of his work at Duke, I mean, you saw it as a player, obviously, in 08 when this started. You grew up in Knoxville, so I'm sure you remember the Big Orange days when he was there with Fulmer. What he's done at Duke – and Mark and I were talking about this before the show. What he's done at Duke is basically historical from a football perspective since what? World War II, right?
If you look at the numbers, it is one of the biggest turnarounds in college football history, and it's our job this year and moving forward for the long future to continue that trajectory of the tremendous start that he has done. But you know, what he has done is historic, and we plan on continuing to add to that turnaround here this year.
Coach Ferris, interesting group. That offensive line, Greg Fry, new coach there. They got Raekwon Boyette. They got a lot of familiar faces on the staff. Calvin McGee's come to work for them. Interesting, a week from Friday night, 2 weeks from tonight, Duke Charlotte. Up here with Will Healy and the 49ers with Mike Hill at the wheel of the athletic department there.
Mike
buddy.
Hill's good people. We like rooting for him, but we will be rooting against him.
That's right. He and Coach Healy both. Yes.
Both of them. We like both those guys.
We like both those guys.
But when the ACC network comes rolling in there, sorry, we're looking for Nell there in Charlotte. Right. But nevertheless, you know, Duke needs to get off to a great start, right? Mm-hmm. You know what happened? Last year's old news. It's rearview mirror. But with the four non-conference games right out of the gate, you know what? You have to get off to a good start. I know we talked about Virginia Tech.
Right.
Same kind of situation against North Carolina. But for Duke, four non-conference games, all manageable. Charlotte, North Carolina, A&T, Northwestern, and Kansas. They won't have to leave a lot of time. They won't spend a lot of time traveling because a lot of games are going to be in the neighborhood.
Yep.
But Duke really needs that to be a W, right? Yeah. I mean, you just got to have that one.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
We're talking Hokies, of course, the ACC Network Tour in Blacksburg tonight. Be sure to check that out. And Wes, he's been with us before, but never on television.
No.
The voice of the Hokies.
Yeah, John Laser joins us this morning from some sort of trap confines in Richmond, apparently. What? You know, this is why you're one of my favorite people, because every time there's this dry line of humor always involved in something, and it looks like we're getting ready to do some sort of interrogation here this morning. You okay? We're a little concerned. You all right?
I've taken it back to my minor league roots, boys. And, Wes, I know you know that I can cross any highway in America. I'm doing that down here in Richmond. Because I've got a home design appointment with the wife and the in-laws today for our new place in Blacksburg. And what could possibly go wrong with that? But I wanted to talk to you about that, Wes, because I remember when the show got announced with you and Pack, and you said, oh, we're going to have you on. We can't wait. And here we are 2 years later. You finally got to the B-list.
443 of them, John. You won the lottery.
Hey, listen, John, Wes said he would get you in.
We're in.
Before year two. Year two ends technically after this show.
So you're
we
in.
Celebrate our anniversary on Monday. So,
man of my word, Lace.
Yeah, there it is. That's how it goes. That is not the way you're supposed to treat a voice of a San Francisco Giants affiliate.
Oh, see, here we
in
go.
The middle part of the decade.
I knew this was going to happen because you're as much as you want to talk about the Hokies with
I
Laser,
do.
You want to get into the Giants minor league system
well,
at some
we'll
point.
Get, we'll put that in the back
okay,
burner
good.
Because, John, listen, Lane Stadium, one of the great venues in college football. I mean, anybody, that's kind of a bucket list. I hear it even on my radio show. I mean, one of these days I'd like to go to Blacksburg. You need to go. Great campus, great people, great tailgating. And, man, Enter Sandman is one of those moments in college football where you just kind of stop what you're doing and check it out. The anticipation, number one, what should be a great football game 2 weeks from now, and the fact that Hokie Nation finally gets back together. How would you explain, and again, I really don't want to spend time about what last year was, but this moment right here as a play-by-play guy for the Hokies, this has got to be something special.
Oh, it absolutely is, guys. And first and foremost, the last guy on your highlight montage coming back, that's my neighbor. Good guy. Great dance moves. We expect him to be there. No, I've run out of ways to describe just how excited is not even the word, just the anticipation, the tension, the history of coming off what we're coming off of, hopefully continuing to come off what we're coming off of. And that moment when Enter Sandman hits, you know, this will be my seventh season, incredibly, at this point. And to say it never gets old is certainly an understatement, but just what hits you emotionally in that lead up when Johnny Cash comes on even and the team is starting to walk towards that tunnel, and then to recognize it's still, I have to pinch myself that I'm a part of it and I get to vocalize it and put words to it. But when Hokie Nation comes back together, we've seen this throughout the summer at our Hokie Club events and all the different ways that we get together, there is just an absolute appetite just for that sense of community. And I'm sure that's not specific to Virginia Tech, but in our Hokie brand and the way that we do it, there's an added level of excitement to it, certainly.
John, now you throw on top of all that Carolina, right? I mean, and the last two times these schools have played, one changed the rule book, and last year there were points aplenty. So what do you think? I mean, it's game one. This is usually where, you know, teams – have too many penalties. There are unforced errors. There's all sorts of things that happen. I mean, and now we're asking both these schools to play at a pretty high level right from Jump Street.
Yeah, six overtimes the last time at Lane Stadium. It was obviously the most epic game that I've ever been a part of and probably that most people have been a part of. But as Pac said, there's not a whole lot of reason to go back to last year. There's no doubting the fact that Sam Howell is legit and one of the finest quarterbacks in the country, and this North Carolina offense, despite losing who they lost to the draft, and rightfully so because those guys were electric players, still has a ton of firepower. But you go back to what the Hokies were dealing with last year, coming off of COVID outbreak. They were down about 20-plus guys. Justin Hamilton was in his first game of actually being able to be there. So I'm not saying toss it completely out the window, because clearly both teams will look back upon it. I think what the Hokies will take from that matchup is, as you mentioned, Wes, they were able to put up a lot of points in the second half as well. So I'm anticipating a phenomenal matchup on September 3rd. This is a Hokies team. I know everyone says this time of year, but really likes where they are. I really like where they are on the offensive side of the ball. I think Braxton Burmeister is really going to open some eyes nationally starting that night. And yeah, North Carolina's become such a rival to Virginia Tech because they cross over in recruiting so much. And of course, they battle it out in the Coastal and are expected to be in that race, both of them, this year again. So, hey, we're coming back. You're going to have the full stadium. Why not do it with the biggest bang you possibly can?
John, we've talked a lot about Virginia Tech and the pressure to get off to a good start. Yeah, North Carolina is a huge game, especially in that Coastal run. But when you have a schedule that's so front loaded with home games, really getting off to a good start, getting everybody back to Lane Stadium, it's really imperative, isn't it? I mean, the road trip coming up to West Virginia will be crazy. It's cool. They're getting back together. You know, got Notre Dame, then you got Pitt, and you got Syracuse. I mean, it's one of the weirdest looking schedules I've ever seen, given the home games, but it just even puts more all chips in the middle of the table right out of the gate against the Heels.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Pac. And when you look at that schedule, six out of the first seven at home, Lane Stadium, that certainly gives you an advantage. You mentioned the trip to Morgantown. Hokies going there for the first time since 2005. It'll be my first trip. And I think as competitors, that's what you want, because of course, we all know the significance of this season and the direction of the program and are all feeling very confident about that. But you have to want to put your best foot forward in the beginning. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, I think from the Hokies' perspective, they've had a number of ACC openers, Boston College on the road a couple of years ago, Florida State the year before that. Those were out-of-division matchups. So to have North Carolina come in and then also to go on the road to a traditional rival but a non-conference rival in West Virginia gives you a great opportunity to see where you are as a football team. And that's really, I think, all that you can ask for.
John, we spent some of the early part of the show, obviously with the road trip in Blacksburg today, talking a little bit about the last 5 or 6 years, and that Virginia Tech is one of three schools that hasn't had a losing ACC record in the last five since 2016. But while you can hang your hat with Clemson and Miami on that stat, there are also some head scratchers along the way. How has that been kind of exercised, if you will, this offseason?
Well, I think for this football team, Wes, and this football program, and hopefully your guys that are in town will experience this today, and we can showcase that. It's been a building process behind the scenes, getting back to a level playing field in recruiting and a level playing field in a lot of different ways in terms of trying to compete with Clemson and some of those teams that have been the upper crust in college football. And I felt like this program was about to be there last year in terms of the opening of the Student Athlete Performance Center, the brand new state-of-the-art weight room, new team rooms, and on the list goes, and also the additions to the recruiting staff and the staff in general. So I think for this program right now, you marry that with you went through these years that Justin Fuente anticipated were going to be transitional years and modernizing years for the program, and now here you are, and you get to unwrap it. So I think that they exorcise that, Wes, to use your word, by coming out and showcasing not just what this football team we expect to be on the field, but what the new era in Blacksburg is in terms of what Virginia Tech continues to stand for and the tradition that they've always carried and the pride that Hokie Nation has always had, but also to modernize and now saying, okay, we're caught up to the Joneses. Here's what tips the scale in our favor is the fact that now we can highlight once again all the things that make Blacksburg the truly special place that it is.
John, from your perspective, what's the one thing that must happen for Virginia Tech to have a great year?
I think you look at the health perspective, and you know, I'm knocking on every piece of wood that I have right here, because for Virginia Tech, you've got playmakers at every level on both sides of the ball. And for Braxton Burmeister to become one of those elite ACC quarterbacks, he certainly has plenty of competition, Sam Howell first and foremost. but for him to be the true leader of this football team. And in order for that to happen, he's of course going to have to be the starting quarterback each and every time you take the field. So that is the one thing. Braxton Burmeister needs to be there, and he needs to be effective. And again, I think everybody has all the utmost confidence that he will be.
You know, it's interesting. The storyline of him playing at Virginia Tech, them opening with Carolina, where his dad played, was like a special teams ace, defensive back, the whole bit. And Braxton plays with a lot of the same personality that Danny played with, who later, by the way, got a Super Bowl ring with the Redskins during the strike year in the 80s. But all that being said, I think it's an interesting stage for him to kind of go nationally against somebody like Sam Howell, too, because – In the small window last year, John, he showed you that competitive, fiery personality that I think Justin Fuente ultimately wanted out of his quarterback.
No doubt about it. Justin Fuente has been high on Braxton Burmeister, clearly, to begin that relationship, to bring him across the country from Oregon to Blacksburg, but also throughout the course of camp last year when he was eligible. You remember what Coach said about both of those guys, Hendon Hooker being the other, are going to have a big role. And I think that he's a guy that really is capable of running the offense the way that Brad Cornelson and Justin Fuente want to run it. He's capable of driving the football down the field. But more importantly, I think he's able to get it to the boundary quickly, get it in the hands of your playmakers. And he's also exceptionally elusive. I don't think he gets as much credit for that. And potentially back to my previous answer, guys, you don't want to risk that all that much in terms of designed runs, but he's more than capable of extending plays, throwing on the run, and also taking off on the run. And guys, I promised myself one thing. When I came on this morning, I was doing a podcast with Braxton the other day, and I asked him if he could jump into the bed of a pickup truck like Jaden Paiute. And he said, no, I'm more of a land mammal. And I said, well, there's your nickname, my man. And Pete Morris, of course, our czar of communications, came to me and said, you know, we've been calling him La Jolla because he's from La Jolla, California. And I said, brilliant. The La Jolla land mammal it is.
I like it. I do. I got to be honest with you.
Okay, you're writing it down, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I'm not a broadcaster, Wes. You might be.
But I can see highlights on Monday with the La Jolla land mammal.
Well, you know, I think we could probably incorporate that in some highlights here on ACC Network. Before we let you go, are you leaning Brass Hardware, you think, before this episode gets
chrome,
started?
Chrome Hardware.
I know there's some chrome involved in this new place. What I'm leaning towards is I realize now that every fixture, every knob, every anything can be upgraded, and I have to restrain myself in terms of adding on those things.
Hey, wait till you drop on the Voice of the Hokies and see what kind of discount we get in
Richmond. Discounts will be coming in. Baby.
That is coming.
Hey. Hey, before we let you go, tell people about the T-shirt that you're putting online, because it's for a great cause and it's fun for Hokie fans too, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a really cool initiative, and I know you guys have been involved in getting creative during the course of the pandemic and how we can use the platforms that we're fortunate enough to have in order to aid the things that are important to us. In my case, one of those things is mental health awareness, obviously with what just happened at the Olympics with Simone Biles and really putting a public face to some of those struggles for people. It's only emboldened us even further. I'm someone who's struggled with depression and anxiety. I take a lot of pride, not in that that's the case, but a willingness to talk about it and invite people to talk about it with me. But anyway, Wes, I know we're on limited time. A few years back in the Virginia game, there was a botched field goal attempt picked up for a fumble. And I'd always loved the Bears broadcast when he would say there's nothing in front of him but Kentucky bluegrass. And I was trying to think of a way that I could steal that, because that's what we do as broadcasters, but make it a Virginia Tech specific call. And clean mountain air just came to me because, of course, we're a little mountain town and we're extremely proud of that. And it is some of the cleanest living you'll ever experience. And the fans really gravitated towards that one specific call. So I've kind of made it not my signature, but I use it once or twice a season. And when I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, clean mountain air is kind of a synonym for a clean head and working on mental health and the things that affect us. So I put those two things together. I've got an outstanding friend in Clark Ruland in Blacksburg, graphic designer. We came up with nothing but clean mountain air on the front, in front of me t-shirts on the back, partnering with Mental Health America. We're going to make a big donation to them at the end of the year. I also use my Cameo proceeds to do that as well. And those are available for sale. All you have to do is find me on any of my social media channels, but primarily Twitter. Just message me. I'll get you details on the pre-order. And Wes, I know you know where this is because you've been there with me. We're going to have a big kickoff blowout at PK's. Every Hokie knows where that is, right on Main Street on August 30th. Pack, you're invited to, my
man. Wings, Pack. Wings.
Complimentary shirts for you boys.
Let me explain something. I'm married to a Hokie. You don't need to tell me where to go in Blacksburg. I already got it.
Wings.
They got an outfit coming, man. They're sprucing it up. They're sprucing it up for you. August 30th at 6.
All right.
Love it.
Hey, John, great to see you. Be well. Tell Renee hello. We'll see you soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet.
And good luck today.
Thank you.
You know, I was kidding with John before we started that interview. I said, you know, there are certain things you do as a married person or soon-to-be married person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go with your soon-to-be wife and looking at China and fabrics
towels.
And towels, you're like, us guys are like, whatever. We don't even care if it's clean, for crying out loud. So when it comes to fixtures, please let her handle it. Seriously. Let her take care of all that and just go and write the check and get out of the way. Know your role.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham.
Oh, Chester, don't let us keep you up.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Shh, Chester's sleeping.
Sorry, Chester's sleeping.
Fuller not doing much either.
No, Fuller's stressed out.
You know Fuller's sleeping.
You move that lacrosse ball, there'll be a problem.
I was going to say, you touch the ball, he's up. That's just the way it works. I literally could nonchalantly hit him on the nose here with my foot, and he wouldn't move. But if you touch that ball, he'll give you – have one ear up and cross-eyed looking at you. Like, what are you doing, man? That's my ball.
Yeah.
All right. Stuff to do. Scheduling.
We're going to get to that at 9 o'clock. Because we got a few
I'm
things.
Excited about this breaking news.
I am too. The Alliance?
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see where this thing's going. Really intrigued. Now, you know, I gave you a theory last night at dinner.
Yeah, we're not going
to
get
it. I'm not going to say it on the air.
No. But I'm beginning to believe your theory's right.
You think it is, don't you?
And at some point, we will tell you the theory.
I
actually think we'll find out the theory before it becomes public. But here's what The Athletic is reporting within the last hour. Nicole Auerbach,
ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12
Alliance expected to be formally announced soon. Now, Nicole tweeted, this isn't just about scheduling. Now, that, I hate to say, opens up a wider door.
You know what that is? That is a great, in our business, that's called a tease.
And it's a good one.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
Because now your mind's wandering, going, oh, well, what are they going to do here? Because we knew that if they could pull this off, scheduling would be part of the equation.
Yes, but if it isn't just about scheduling, then what is it about? Is it about more than just football?
Never know. We'll have to wait and see.
Is it about...
Can I say one thing?
Can I ask you this? Could it potentially be about... If all this is geared toward the college football playoff, and this is simply off the top of my head, if all this is geared in some respects because of the playoff conversation, which is where this started, don't let anybody, by the way, some other place sway you to this as not being a good thing, because what this is a very good thing for three power conferences, okay? And if people want to start counting votes in the room and telling you it doesn't matter, then tell them there are three votes in the room that are probably going to be tied, right?
Not on all subjects.
Correct, but... In the college football playoff world, what's the outlier in the expansion? Bowls. It isn't about scheduling. Could it be about bowls? Could it be about bowl alignments and arrangements? Remember one of the big concerns the Pac-12 and Big Ten had with the college football playoff expansion was the tradition of the Rose Bowl. Just saying, could it also include the bowls?
All right. I'm going to give you a tease for people who are watching. Last night, Wes and I go to dinner, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff. Mrs. P's there to, you know, basically, all right, boys, I had enough of this conversation. Time to go home.
Let's move on to something else.
Right, or let's get another glass of wine.
Let's talk about the kids.
Whatever. And so I threw a theory on you last night, and I've been thinking about this whole thing, and I threw a theory on you last night.
You did.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not going to say it on the air today, but if I'm right... Are you going to give me like all time credit on this?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
If I could be dead wrong on my theory.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.